Hello, everyone. This is Parker and Frisbee of Pool Party. We need to apologize. We said some things last week that really offended our friend Shelly Kobas.
Yeah, some earnestly felt and reflected upon stuff. We just wanted to apologize for that.
We're looking to apologize to him. If you listened in last week, you may remember a joke that one of us made. We mentioned the gluten binary. Which, you know, we were just throwing it out there. We thought it would please Shelby Kobas because it referred to a joke he made to us, you know, just in a text message.
In privately held conversation.
And we thought he would be tickled if we said it on the show, but he was mad. He thought that we were stealing his jokes. You know, he text messaged us so mad. He had to FaceTime us. His face was all red. His eyebrows were pointed down.
No one wants to encounter an angry Shelly Koala.
That's true. So he was mad. He thought we were stealing his jokes. So we just want to say here publicly that we apologize to Shelby Kobas of the Illogical Contraption show, radio broadcast. And we vow to never ever reference or outright steal any of Shelby Kobas' intellectual property or the intellectual property of Illogical Contraption as a whole.
We love you, Sherry Cola.
We love you, Shelby. Now let's start the regular show.
Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Yeah!
There's a lot of weird things out there from the impossible. There's a lot of weird things that are out there that are the unknown. Welcome to the world of Logic Contraptions. All the goofy pals are here. The talk radio show about aliens and about the unknown that groans. Welcome to the world of Logic Contraptions. All the goofy pals are here. The talk show about aliens and about psychics and the ghosts. Whatever you believe in, it's here. Unknown is clear. Welcome to the world of logic and contraptions. All the goofy pals are here. Talk on the radio station, aliens and psychics and ghosts that will teach you about this world all the most. There's a lot of strange things out there. Believe in the impossible.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one creepy clown podcast motel cemetery in all of Nevada. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorman, King of the Burbs, Sawfan 667. Frizzman, how are you doing?
So, it's been a week. It's been a tough week. I was going to say so good, but that would have been a lie. I don't want to lie to you.
I appreciate that. Did something happen? Did somebody, like, hurt you?
Everybody hurt me. No, it's been a weird couple of weeks of just reflecting on all the mistakes and shitty things you've done with your life. Not your life, my life.
Oh, like when you have a... I thought you were reflecting on all my mistakes and regrets.
No. You have so many successes to be proud of, and I think of them daily. But I was thinking of all of my mistakes, and I think people go through this every so often, but this has been, like, very intensive. And I don't know what's causing it. Like, I feel very alert and awake and, you know, no reason to be too depressed about anything, but I'm not sure. Like, I'll be picking up groceries or driving somewhere, listening to a song or something. And the song won't even relate to anything directly, but I'll just pop into my head of something that happened, like, in grade school. And then, like, something that happened in a relationship. I'm like, oh, damn it. I did that thing, and that was terrible. And I feel remorseful about it. I don't get embarrassed. This is a weird thing lately. Like, I haven't been getting embarrassed about stuff. But I guess, like, genuinely ashamed or remorseful that I did something, like, a certain way.
Yeah, I get that way sometimes. I usually get embarrassed, though. Like, I'm like, oh, I should never have written that blog about... you know, about how my butt smells. Oh, that was a terrible idea.
That was a good blog. I like Butt Smell Weekly. That was fun.
Thank you. It did get syndicated. It was on FARC for a while.
It was on FART for a while.
Oh, nice.
Yep. But yeah, what about yourself? How have you been?
You know, I've been pretty good. Just same old stuff. You know, working at the newspaper where I work. I don't know if you saw it on Facebook or Instagram, but there was a story in my paper. You know, a wild artwork, you know, mostly more than a story. And it was about students who are eating lunch under a tree. And then I gave it the headline, treat yourself to lunch. And man, I'm very proud of myself. I think that's one of the highlights of my journalism career.
Man, this is why they put you in this position. Like, because, I mean, you're all about puns anyway. And I can't imagine a better spot for you to where you get to, like, manipulate headlines like that. I mean, Vanity... Variety does not know what they're missing. They're just you have so many good headlines about stuff. You know, like that Nick's Pick Sticks crap. That's old hat. You'd have like long puns about the new Captain America film that would just be wildly entertaining.
Well, thank you. It's not the crowning achievement, I don't think, in my career. I did have one that I'm still, like, sometimes I just wake up and, like, I puff out my chest and I say, I'm doing the right thing, because I did have one at my old newspaper. There was a hailstorm, right? And then, like, this guy, you know, we got a picture of this guy, like, running under an awning trying to get away from the hail.
Yeah.
And my headline was Hail on Earth. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, normally, on the, like, as we've probably expressed on this show, I tend to shut down at puns for some reason. I get really grossed out by them. But I love these. The tree one made me chuckle.
Well, thank you.
Students treat themselves. You had like the hyphenated T at the end and like in single quotes. It was good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the punctuation even added an extra level of humor to it for you.
It did, because it was so like precise. You really want to get that pun in there.
It's true. I wanted to make
much lazier attempts is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure it was grammatically correct as well.
Yeah,
so that's what I've been doing at work, coming up with jokes. Coming up with, like, every story in my newspaper, though, like, if you were to look at, like, the, you know, the first three pages, it's all stuff about, like, you know, like, the cops in my town, like, shot two people in 1 week, dead for no reason, and like there's like a bunch of teachers who are like molesting kids, and like there's like cops who like are stealing from senior citizens and all this stuff. But then you flip past that stuff and you get treat yourself, and it's I think I'm doing my part to like really cheer people up.
Yeah, you are. You're treating them to a nice pun.
Thanks. Boy, so we've got some stuff. We got some stuff to talk about today, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, we do.
Which is good, because we do an audio podcast, so I'm glad.
I've got some visual stuff, but it's kind of bullshit for this medium.
Yeah, I made a PowerPoint presentation to show you, but I don't know how that's going to work.
As long as you have like the audio sounds of like a car zooming by really fast for when the slide changes, then you can probably still use it.
I do have that.
Cool.
But well, I was thinking that we could do a segment that we've done like a ton of times on the show. It's like one of our, you know, main segments if you've listened to the show before. It's called Sick Picks. This is something we've been doing for a long time. It's, you know, it's like a segment, you know, about movies where, you know, we just kind of bring up some, you know, like we pick a topic, you know, whatever it might be. And then we sort of, you know, bring up underrated examples of that topic. So yeah, this is Sick Picks. This is something we do. We've got a little theme music for it. Let's start it up now. You ready to get into this, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, ready as I'll ever be.
All right, we've done this
as per usual.
Excellent. Here's the theme. Pool Party Radio. Sick Picks. VHS Rewind. Spoopy.
13th Preppy spoopy films.
Preppy spoopies.
Films. Preppy.
Rewind.
VHS.
VHS spoopy creppy. VHS rewind. This is okay. So these are movies because it was Friday the 13th yesterday. We're doing this, you know. Maybe I guess it'll be over by the time this is out, Friday the 13th, but whatever.
School summer. Friday the 13th is every day this summer.
That's true. That's absolutely true. So what are some movies that scared you, Mr. Frisbee? What were you scared of?
Well, for some like underrated films that scared me and stuck with me, one was 2003's Gozu from Takashi Miike. This was before I actually got to visit Japan. Rented this from Precinct 13, the video store, short-lived but much appreciated video store out in Dayton. Mm-hmm. And originally intended to be just like a straight DVD release, this eventually made its round to Sundance and was a jury pick for that. So it got some theater play, which was unexpected, especially considering that the film has its hang-ups, and the reasons it gets overlooked is, number one, is length. This film is like 2 hours long, and some of it feels like it's meandering, although there's always something that's happening. It jumps scenes and events quite a bit, and the narrative gets kind of loose like after the first half hour because it starts to feel more like a fever dream, and that's why I think the most important part that I think gets overlooked is that this movie is the most like a very weird, unsettling dream, fever dream. A lot of it feels like kind of like a nod or a send up to David Lynch films, like the best parts of David Lynch films. And to me, like one of the best ones is Eraserhead, because that movie is fucking weird and stark black and white. Not only the characters look goofy, but there's weird props, weird costume design, makeup, and a really weird little creature. And Gozu has a lot of that, and it's a lot of the same stuff where the settings, the interactions, most of them seem like centered or at least normal enough, like you might see them on Earth, but then it quickly spins out of control. Some of this stuff is taking place in Japanese mythology, but other people have seemed to liken it to Greek mythology, like the epic tales of, you know, trying to find your way back home, something like that. In this case, it's a guy trying to find his dearest friend, another Yakuza member. So it's like this, it might be the only one of its kind that I know of, that I can think of. It's a Yakuza horror, psychotic thriller, David Lynch-esque movie from the early 2000s. So it's that was way too specific. But I watched this movie a couple of times because it is so long. It took me like a few watches to get through it. And when I did, I was glad I did, because it just tells all the stuff that I like about films. Everything gets manipulated. Everything turns the medium on its head. I mean, I like it when a film tells a good story, but I also like it when somebody's able to intentionally fuck all of that up and still have it be entertaining. And to me, it's like, I get why people don't want to spend 2 hours watching it, but everything gets torn apart, whether it's like dialogue or secondary background characters, or even like the film and the audio itself. Like, there's glitches in that where something obviously changes and you're not sure what. And the audio, I mean, it makes a bit more sense, but like for the film, like the film quality changes, and that's intentional. Like, all this stuff is done, and you just feel like somebody else is, instead of having something that's smooth and transitional, it does feel like a dream where like you look out to, you know, the room next to you, and you get distracted by something in that same dream. You look back to that room and it's completely different, or something's like minorly off. There's stuff like that all the time in this film. And not all of it gets explained, and I love that. And it's scary. It's still scary, I think.
I see what you're saying. I haven't seen this movie. I've only seen a couple of this guy's movies.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of them was scary. 13 Assassins I saw. It's not scary.
It's like a samurai film.
Yeah, but it's good.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I'll check this out. This sounds interesting to me. Takashi Miike, he did not do... or maybe he did Audition, right?
He did Audition.
Because this, yeah, this sounds like Audition, the movie that you're describing to me, sort of. Because that's also like a weird, weird sort of Lynchian thing. But within sort of a, you know, a very basic structured narrative.
Yeah, that one's more like a Twin Peaks or something, where it's like, we've got to solve this sort of thing. But, I mean, that's Twin Peaks. Like, Twin Peaks has a definite set goal. And Audition is... the guy's relationship with an actress. He's a director and there's an actress and he snubs her for the role that she was auditioning for, gets romantically involved, I think before that, and then the fallout occurs. And that's really interesting. I mean, it's kind of like, it's Lynch and also like Fatal Attraction, or one of those early psychotic relationship films.
Mm-hmm. Now... tell me if you feel this way, Mr. Frisbee, because we talked about Audition a while back on Junk Food Dinner, and I think I was the only one who felt this way, but, do you feel as if, in this spoiler alert, that all the weird shit, like the climactic torture stuff that happens in Audition, that was just a dream, right? Or am I wrong?
I think you can interpret it that way. I think... one way to go about interpreting that film, and it's been a while since I've seen it, is to consider, and it might just be like the main character centric, like the director's view on this. But in that way, like everything that he interprets about that actress, like the people that he snubs, he imagines like a completely different life for. So like when they're talking on the phone, that's one of the more famous parts of that film.
Mm-hmm.
With the trash bag in the background.
So spooky. So
yeah, that part's probably more overtly spooky than anything in Gozu. But he's not there in the room, and I forget if he encounters any of that stuff. And then when he finally gets to like the torture scene, yeah, that may as well be like... that might be interpreted as a dream sequence.
That's how
I remember, like, he isn't he like floating at one point? Like there's clouds behind him or something?
I think so. And then, yeah, like you said, like he imagines talking to her on the phone and there's all this stuff like in her room that he couldn't possibly know about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
and those scenes. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and yeah. So I just thought it was like sort of a fever dream that he has like to deal with his anxiety about tricking and using this young girl.
Yeah. I think Miike plays around with dreams and dream states and unconsciousness as much as Lynch does. Lynch has varying degrees of that in his stuff. Like Twin Peaks is probably the most direct, where, you know, people actually have these dreams and it might be like some sort of astral projection. But, you know, when Kyle MacLachlan has a dream in that show, he knows he has a dream and he gets up and tells people like, I just had this dream. And in the film Ichi the Killer, this is kind of a spoiler again. Towards the end of that one, this protagonist has a dream about what happens to himself at this very heightened climax of the movie. And nobody says directly like, oh, it was just a dream. But the visuals and everything, like his face gets marked at one point. And then when we see him again, it's unmarked. And it's an intentional shot that's supposed to be like he completely imagined this entire thing, and it was way more dramatic than he thought. So yeah, like there's different degrees of it. I mean, oh, and Lynch had like an entire movie, Mulholland Drive, that was all like dream sequences piled on top of each other. And I think with Gozu, that might be the same, where it's like, more I think about this one, more I think like a lot of it is just piling on top of each other. It might even be in that way, it might even be like that Waking Life. Well, no, it's not like Waking Life, but with Waking Life you think it's all a dream, the entirety of it. Maybe he's dead, I don't know. That's how uncertain this movie is. I love uncertainty. I think uncertainty is like one of the scariest things.
That's true. I feel that way. That's part of why I like the movie Vanilla Sky / Open Your Eyes so much. It's my favorite movie, you know.
Yeah, I do remember. And I haven't seen it for a while, but that movie also got me chills, like consistently chilled. Some movies are like, they'll have scary moments, but then they explain away stuff a bit too much. Like, oh, this is a demon or a ghoul. And I've got another one on here that is visually creepy. And I think even the ending is still kind of creepy, even though they're a bit more explicit with that. But, you know, Gozu, if you got 2 hours to watch a movie and get sufficiently creeped out, that's the one for you, friend. Or if you've never had a fever dream, then check this movie out and learn the experience. That's my number one sick pick. What about you?
My number one sick pick, it's not too old, but I feel that it was not on VHS. But I do feel that it's severely underrated and overlooked, possibly because it came out sort of around a time that home invasion movies are sort of almost trendy, sort of. Like, there's kind of been a glut of them recently because I think people are sort of real-life afraid of that right now. But it's The Strangers that came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I almost picked that one because that is very spoopy.
It's so spoopy. It's absolutely the scariest movie I've ever seen in the theater. And scary from start to finish. It's not like, you know, some of these other movies that are scary, you know, like I felt that The Grudge was creepy. I don't think it's like a great movie, but I think it's creepy. You know, or your Signs. I think Signs has some creepy parts, or The Descent has creepy parts, but it's not like creepy the whole time. But I think that Strangers is creepy the entire time you're scared. And not because, not in a Paranormal Activity way, where like, you know that in 30 seconds there's going to be like something just out of frame that like runs into frame and makes a loud noise. But because it's just creepy and spoopy. The idea that people in fucked up masks are just hanging out around your house, like looking in your windows, knocking on your door and saying creepy shit, you know, throwing rocks at your windows, like standing behind you, unbeknownst to you. It's like all the scariest shit about being in real, you know, being alive, where like, if it's nighttime, you go down to the kitchen to make a sandwich, you're probably just going to feel like somebody's standing behind you. And the scary part of The Strangers is that they are standing behind you. Or, you know, you go, well, I don't want to look out my window at night. Well, there might be somebody out there. And then Strangers is scary because there is somebody standing out there. I love it. And it's got a cool soundtrack. Wilco is the soundtrack. And I don't really like Wilco, but I like the soundtrack of this. I like the songs they use. So there's that. And so spoopy, so scary. Scared 100% of the time when I watch this.
Yeah, agreed. This is, I mean, obviously with my having almost picked this, but I did not know much about the soundtrack. And I never sought it out either. What struck you about the soundtrack? Because I'm trying to remember scenes where they used it. And this film, from what I remember, it does thrive on a lot of parts of silence. There is like, there's no tension building music or anything. Like what I liked about some of the scariest parts of this, where I think this was probably one of the more famous ones. And I remember the reaction in the audience. I saw this on opening night, actually, in a packed house. And Liv Tyler goes to talk on the phone. She's got her back to like the kitchen and attachment to the living room, I guess, whatever goes alongside the kitchen to the other rooms. So she's got her back to all that, and she's in the forefront. And then the background, the dude in the suit and mask takes a few steps out just to, like, watch her. And he doesn't do that, like, head, careening thing. He just, you know, this could be a family member. This could be one of your friends just taking his steps and be like, what are you doing? But he's got a mask on, and he's not supposed to be there, so it's oh so scary. So I'm trying to remember, like, when there is music in this movie.
Well, sort of at the beginning. Like, they don't use it to creepy effect, but, like, when Liv Tyler and her boyfriend first get home, they put on a record, and it's the Wilco and Billy Bragg record. That's really good.
Yeah, it's very lighthearted stuff. That's all covers of that guy from Oklahoma, songs that he wrote.
Phil. Our friend Phil.
Yeah, yeah.
Woody Guthrie?
Woody Guthrie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was all songs that he wrote. And, yeah, Billy Bragg and Wilco. I mean, Billy Bragg's pretty political, but none of these guys are, like, balls to the walls, hard, rocking dudes. So, yeah, it's anti-everything else in this movie. Mm-hmm. So it sets you up, I think.
Yeah, and I think they might also use it again later, like, during a creepy part, like, which is sort of Straw Dogs-y, maybe, but maybe I'm misremembering it. Maybe I'm just thinking about Straw Dogs. Maybe I should watch Straw Dogs. You're right. That's a good movie. That's creepy, too. That movie's creepy, too.
For a lot of reasons. Which one? Like, the 70s one or the more recent one?
The 70s one. The more recent one is not creepy. It's just terrible.
That's what I heard.
Let me tell you the gist of that movie. The gist of that movie, Mr. Frisbee, is that anybody from the South who likes football is a violent rapist.
Yeah, that's fairly true.
Hollywood is so nuanced. Oh, you find that true? Oh, Mr. Frisbee, come on. You're from Hollywood.
Joking.
You're from Hollywood.
I'm joking.
Come on, we got so many Southern football-loving fans of the show.
I'm joking.
Fan. Oh, my God. Fans of football. You've upset them all, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah, we have no more football listeners.
Oh, my God.
I do have plenty of Southern listeners, though. Kyle from Kentucky, I still remember that email that he introduced himself by saying, "Hello, failures." That's still one of the funniest things I think I've ever heard.
He's a good dude. I haven't heard from him in a while. I don't think he's left a JFT voicemail in a while. But I haven't been on JFT too much these days.
Oh, boy. But yeah, The Strangers is fucking great. It's based off of, loosely based off of the Manson family, right?
No. It is based on a different California murder, Mr. Frisbee. You got to learn your California murders, you see. Let me send you my California murder book.
Sounds good. I'll read it.
Yeah, it was about some murders that happened in, like, the 70s or 80s in the mountains that are, like, 45 minutes from my house, which makes this even more creepy spoopy. Some weird murders where some people were just camping out in their cabin, and some dude just decided to kill them. I don't think they ever caught the killers. I don't think. Maybe they did. I don't know. It's been a while since I read about it. What's your next movie, Mr. Frisbee?
My next movie...
Also, I think there were... Running out of time. We're already at a half an hour here. The alarm's going to sound, so let's just do one more sick pick each, because we got news of the weird coming up.
Oh, okay. The Brood. Cronenberg's The Brood. It's got this very intense actor in it who's a psychiatrist, and I watched this movie thinking that I was going to go one direction about just, like, what it means to be psychotic and everything, and it kind of, like, takes a sharp left turn into stuff about rearing children that is just terrifying. And the kids in this are very creepy looking, and for some reason they get to hang out with other kids, which is really disturbing. and then the ending of this, it's Cronenberg, so there's a lot of, like, body horror sort of stuff going on. It gets way grosser than I had anticipated. Like, I'm all used to Videodrome and stomach vaginas and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now these are, this features, like, one Cronenberg monster that's completely, nasty. And Oliver Reed is the main character, Dr. Hal Raglan.
I don't know who that guy is.
He's a very intense looking dude. Like, there's something familiar about him, but he's just got, like, this very intense face.
See what you're saying. Yeah, I've been wanting to see this movie. I'm glad to hear that it's spoopy and creepy. I was never, like, too aware of Cronenberg. I mean, I've always been, like, aware of who Cronenberg is, but I've only ever seen, like, The Fly and A History of Violence, both of which I find are perfect movies. But sometimes I have this thing where if I like somebody a lot, or, like, I like one thing or two things that a guy did, I won't seek out the rest of his stuff because I'm afraid that I'll be disappointed. Sometimes I do that with directors and bands and stuff. And I think that's what I've been doing with Cronenberg. But then we watched some of, you know, we did a theme show a while back of Cronenberg stuff on Junk Food Dinner, and we watched the Videodrome and the Shivers and stuff. And I like those movies. So I want to watch all the rest of Cronenberg's movies, but I haven't watched this one. I want to see it. I think it sounds spoopy creepy.
Yeah. I saw this during one of the horror movie marathons at Little Art Theater in Yellow Springs, and was totally unprepared for what to expect. Did not research the film at all. And I'm glad I didn't. Like, the less you know about any of these films, obviously, the better. Because it, you know, it's more likely to surprise you. But this one definitely takes that route. So, yeah, The Brood from 1979.
Starring Gangrel, Christian, Edge.
Mm-hmm. And Viscera. Terry Bradshaw and Farouk.
You're talking about John Bradshaw.
Oh,
Terry Bradshaw's the football player.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Terry Bradshaw was overlooking the thing.
That would be pretty good. Maybe
that was the ministry, though, not the Brood.
Yeah, the Brood were part of the ministry, though.
They were a subset. A subdivision of ministry.
Mm-hmm. A subculture.
Yeah.
Although, I think maybe now in my wrestling game, I will make the Brood and then just add Terry Bradshaw. Like, just wearing a football jersey.
A polo shirt and khakis.
Yeah.
or just like a nice suit for when he's commentating.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Before I get into my final sick pick, I do want to check up with the chatterbox that we have on our website, Pool Party Radio. We got a chatterbox. You know, and it does look like Seth Kuzer is saying that his sick pick is Reanimator.
Oh, nice. So,
thank you, Seth Kuzer, for chiming in on our chatterbox at poolpartyradio.com.
And what is Glenn Danzig saying?
He's saying that he likes Signs. I mentioned it earlier. He's agreeing. He likes Signs.
I've been putting some pictures up on our visual feed on the website. If you go to poolpartyradio.com, so you can take a look at our video blog, or picture blog, and follow along there.
And remember to chime in on our chatterbox, or join in on the Chaz room. We have one of those too. My final pick is a movie I just watched for the first time in, I would say, 29 years or so, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, because I'm trying to get through all these Spielberg movies. You know, I want to watch them all and judge them, because I've always sort of, you know, I don't like that sappy stuff, so I've never really felt too fondly for them. But, you know, I want to make sure, you know, I want to watch them all. So I watched E.T.
Yeah.
It's the scariest fucking movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah, it's got an alien in it, and you are terrified of aliens.
Well, I am scared of aliens, for one. And for two, I forgot that in the 80s, I mean, you know, like stuff like, you know, Gremlins and E.T. and, you know, these things, Legend and Labyrinth, like movies that could not be made in a million years now because children are fucking pussies. But we were watching the scariest fucking shit in the world. And I didn't really remember a lot from E.T. It was, you know, from what my mom tells me, like my favorite movie as a kid, but I didn't really remember any of it other than like the time they make him wear a wig in ladies' clothing because that's cute and funny.
Yeah.
But when I was watching it, like, I mean, it's, you know, the beginning, it's like all shadows and darkness and like faceless men running through forests and little creatures that you can't see. So it's like real scary. And then like, one thing that I guess really scared me real bad as a kid, because, you know, rewatching some of these old movies, like as an adult, like I'm still kind of scared. Like there's a scene early on in E.T. where like kids are like just playing like D&D or something in like a really smoky, dimly lit 80s house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very similar scene in Back to the Future where like everything's like smoky and dimly lit. I guess they didn't have good lamps in the 80s. But for whatever reason, that stuff really scared me. Like just the idea of hanging out in a dimly lit, smoky room.
That's funny because that was most of my childhood. So
was it scary?
I was used to it. It was all most of my childhood. Oh. I was used to like the smell of smoke and dim lights. That's actually where I feel most comfortable now. But obviously, that's terrible for your health.
That's true. So that scared me. And then there's a scene where, you know, Elliot goes outside to check a noise, and you know he runs into a, you know, a little creature, you know, in the cornfield behind his house or whatever it is. Which is almost like shot for shot included in Signs, because Shyamalan loves Spielberg. Although I think in Shyamalan's version of this scene, it ends on a scarier note. because he's a very good director and people forget that sometimes. But yeah, so yeah, there's like that scene and then like the scene where like, you know, E.T.'s advancing on little Elliot and it's like all creepy, but then he just takes his Reese's Pieces and then you realize, oh, he's a cute guy. He's not a scary guy. But then, so you think the scariness is over, but then there's that scene later where the astronauts enter the people's house. And this is,
yeah.
What the fuck, man? This scares me so bad.
I'm glad you reminded me of this because I can't think of what the necessity is that they're wearing such elaborate costumes. Like they know, they know what a biohazard suit looks like. So why are they wearing the fucking biohazard suit? Why does he come in as a fucking Apollo 11 guy? He's got like the bubble helmet, right?
Yeah, he's got like, the bubble helmet. You can't see his face.
That's insane to me. Like that seems like something out of Gozu or something. Like it just jumps completely into this other film.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 2001 shit. Like, why is that in there?
Yeah, and then like
they don't explain it. They're just like, yeah, we wanted to capture this alien and all this stuff. But yeah. Why the astronaut? Why'd you send a Neil Armstrong?
Yeah.
What is happening?
And there's like light shines in through all their windows, like through their little like slits in their blinds. So it's like lit really scary. And then, yeah, there's the one that comes in through their front door. And then another one comes out from their kitchen, another astronaut. And then another astronaut tries to climb in through their fucking window. And they've got like outstretched arms and they look like fucking zombies. It's fucking super scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's the worst.
I definitely think that if you were to try to show E.T. to kids today, like, they would not be having it. Like, I mean, it scares me as an old man. I can only imagine what a 5-year-old would think about E.T. these days after watching their cutesy little Frozens and stuff. But then again, well, a lot of little kids probably did sit through Toy Story 3, which is the saddest movie of all time, so maybe they're ready for it. Maybe they can handle E.T.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, if they show it for real though, like they have that new edit where the shotguns are replaced with walkie-talkies, if that's the scariest part of the film. How about re-editing it so there's not fucking astronauts just having a home invasion on you? By the way, I noticed that part. The scariest part of these two films that you picked deal with home invasions with people whose faces are obstructed.
Oh yeah, that's true. Maybe I'm scared of that real bad.
Could be. I didn't mention this, but part of both movies that I mentioned, the Gozu's all over the fucking place, deals with birth, and that's really creepy.
Oh yeah.
So, I'm not like birth is creepy. Well, maybe it is.
It is.
Birth is kind of disturbing.
Oh, it definitely is.
But I thought the connections were creepy. We both kind of subconsciously latched onto these things. But yeah, E.T. That part specifically, it was rough. My alternate pick for this, now you bring up E.T. with like, you know, a short costume person who doesn't really have the ability to turn like the head of the creature that they're in. I was going to say, like, any movie that has a short costume person whose costume can't turn the head of whatever costume they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically, like, the Garbage Pail Kids movie, that scared the shit out of me as a kid. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, all these little golems are walking around, and they have to, like, turn their entire body to talk to someone. I can't trust that. I don't understand what that's all about. And Howard the Duck, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That movie both terrified me and aroused me as a child because, was it Leah Thompson's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a super fox in that movie.
Oh, you got that right.
Yeah, man. But then you have to look at duck breasts, and I can't agree with that film.
Yeah, and then Jeffrey Jones turns into a fucking demon, and that's scary as fuck, too. I got so scared during that movie as a kid.
I'm more terrified by, like, Howard the Duck and all that. That's makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it is weird. Also, speaking of which, in Howard the Duck, directed by George Lucas, there's like, or written and produced by George Lucas or whatever.
Yeah.
There's like all this Indiana Jones shit. And then in E.T., at the 28-minute mark, there's like legitimately a 5-minute fucking commercial for Star Wars where Elliot just names Star Wars characters and then points their action figure right into the fucking camera.
Yep.
And he doesn't just go, here's my Luke Skywalker. Isn't that cool, E.T.? Like he goes, here's Luke Skywalker. Here's Han Solo.
Here's Chewbacca. Chewbacca's a... He's a Wookiee.
Mm-hmm. Boba Fett. Lando Calrissian. A Hammerhead.
Greedo.
Yeah, like, they just go down the line of fucking Star Wars characters for fucking ever, dude. Come on. Have a little bit more tact than that, Spielberg. This is that's one of the reasons I can't stand this. Well, not that I can't stand, I like, he's okay, Spielberg. But it's like, fuck, man, like, have a little bit more class. Like, there's a kid dressed up as Yoda later in the Halloween scene. It's like, all right, dude, like, you're trying to sell fucking costumes. I get it. Like, make a fucking movie. Jesus, fuck. Like,
on that note, I do find overt commercialism really terrifying.
Yeah, me too. And I definitely feel that, even though Spielberg has made some good movies and stuff, he is the missing link, the missing evolutionary link between, like The Godfather, Francis Ford Coppola, and like Scorsese doing like Taxi Driver and like these like great movies like from the 70s. He's that missing link where he was making good movies in the 70s, but then also he like paved the way for like, you know, the Transformers movies of today, where it's like the Transformers turn into the newest cars on the market, and Ford paid a lot of money for them to do that, and here's your movie. It's actually just a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those reasons I don't like Spielberg.
Yeah, yeah. He's a behemoth, so as much as he tries to construct, he's knocking other things down.
Yeah, he's killing that art with his own art. That is not bad. That's why it's hard to hate him. It's like, all right, you paved the way for like shitty blockbusters full of commercials, but it's like, but you did it with Jaws. So like, how can I be that mad, you know?
You're now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. Pod Awful.
Bi-quarterly women's social club.
Dazed and Convicted.
Pool Party Radio.
Show Kane.
The Devil's Advocate.
The Projection Booth.
Awful Flicks.
PodAwful.net.
Are you receiving me?
What are you going to do? Let's get into the news of the weird. This is the thing we do on the show all the time, where we read news stories that are weird and wacky. The first thing we have, Mr. Frisbee, before our timer runs out. Cop busted for using hidden bathroom cameras to film pooping men. This is something you sent to me. I didn't know about it. But, a guy, this is a cop in Missouri. He wanted to watch people poop.
Yeah, Missouri is the Florida of the central U.S., I have to say, for, like, weird crime stories and whatnot. But this is a cop. Poop cop. As I refer to him.
I never would have thought that a cop would be untrustworthy.
Yeah, with all that power comes great responsibility, like Spider-Man. But unlike Spider-Man, they took pictures of the wrong things. Imagine coming to J. Jonah Jameson with this shit. This literal shit. Look at this poop.
Yeah, so this guy, he placed cameras all around town in bathrooms, and then he would get videos of dudes pooping, and then he would put them on the internet. One man named Rob Cheney told a local TV station, "When I saw myself pooping, I was just like, you've got to be kidding me."
I love that phrase. That's how I'm going to react to like my next monumental tragedy. You got to be kidding me.
So, and then he goes on to say, "So everybody's seen me poop? That's terrible. Ha ha ha."
Oh, geez. I mean, I'm almost inclined to say that this guy was like coached, or actually is Tommy Wiseau.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw a video of myself pooping, I said, "You've got to be kidding me. Ha ha. You thought of everything." Yeah. It's a goofy ass story. And also this guy had like another ring going on where he was posting on Craigslist, I think as a woman, offering to like do sexual favors for people just, you know, for free. Like you see on Craigslist, seeking other people.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he would bait people into doing this, bait men. Like, you know, "I'll give you a blowjob." And they'd show up like, "Hey, you're a dude." He's like, "Yeah, but I'll still give you a blowjob." And they're like, "All right." And this happened 60 times.
Is that how it works? Like, all right, let's say, Mr. Frisbee, you're just surfing the internet. You see a listing. It says, "Hey, I'm a hot babe. I want to give you a blowjob." And you're bored. You know, you got nothing to do. So you go, "All right, I'll call." And then, or text or whatever. You text and you go, "Hey, I'll be at, the old rest stop on old 68. You know, I'll see you there." And they're like, "Okay, I'll see you there with a blowjob." You're like, "All right, I got nothing to do, you know.
None of this sounds suspect. I mean, it all seems very legit."
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, that's what the internet's like these days. So you're like, all right.
Yeah.
You get there, and then this dude shows up. You know, he's like kind of an overweight, bald fellow. More importantly than his looks, though, he's a man, which you're not attracted to as a straight man. And so, what do you do in the, what do you say? Like, do people, would anybody go, well, all right, I'm already here.
60 of them did. What do you say? 60 of them just, like, here's the thing. I think it's a priority set. Like, for these dudes, for these 60 guys, their priority that day was like, I really need to get my peener sucked. Like, however they want to say it, that's what they set out to do that day. My priorities are like eating slash alcohol.
Slash fiction as well. Reading some slash fiction.
That's two. Slash fiction slash fiction. Mm-hmm. So that's either reading slash fiction or regular fiction.
And then listening to Slash's Snake Pit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of number three. Mm-hmm. Is slash Snake Pit slash 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 Guns N' Roses. So that's either slash the Snake Pit, just slash, or Guns N' Roses. And then, you know, the rest of the stuff. But then, like, yeah, like, lower down that list of priority is getting off sexually. Because, like, I'm not really dating all that much or anything. So, I mean, it's nothing that I'm expecting. And it's nothing I expect anyway. But it's, you know, I've got other things I want to do. So if I showed up there, he's like, hey. And I'm like, hey. And I'm like, I was seeking a woman because I'm really into getting strange blowjobs. And he's like, well, that woman's not showing up because that was me. I'm like, oh, well, I've been duped. He's like, you still want a blowjob? My exchange would probably be, no, thank you. I'm just going to pick up some snacks at this seedy gas station that I was convinced was going to be a love den. And I'm going to leave to read some slash fiction or regular fiction. And he might protest, or probably not, because it's already been discussed. Like, hey, you really pulled the wool over my eyes on that Craigslist ad. Go figure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's how I would do it. What about yourself? I mean, not that you would be inclined to be seeking strange sexual favors online, but if you did,
if
you were in that situation.
Well, you know, I already spent the gas money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't want to make a wasted trip.
Would you bargain for something else? Like, you know, oh, you already lied to me about this. Maybe we can get a little something else out of it.
Yeah, I would.
Would you try to negotiate something?
I would say, please, sir, I'm not into this blowjob you want to give me. But if you wear this wig, we can do some butt stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would absolutely. No, I would not. Well, maybe not. I'm very bad at saying no, I think. I'm very, especially when it comes to sex stuff. I've had sex with a lot of girls I did not want to have sex with simply because I did not want to say no and hurt their feelings. So I feel that if I was in this situation, I might just have to bite the bullet, as it were. Just let whatever happens, happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah, and there's no better way to do that than just by becoming incredibly intimate with somebody else's body. That's the best way to not hurt anybody else's feelings.
Well, you know, I've made some mistakes in my day. Got some regrets.
I know. Yeah, same here. But you can't just keep making those mistakes.
Well... You know?
But yeah, that's very thoughtful in a way, even though this guy was being very deceptive.
That's true. He is exactly like that Pokemon picture that I love that I reblog on Tumblr every day of that Pokemon saying, it was all a trick, I have deceived you.
Yep. I thought you were talking about Mr. Mime, because Mr. Mime pretends to be other Pokemon, and that's what this guy's doing.
Oh yeah, that's true. This has a lot to do with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Also, there's that...
Ditto. Ditto did the same thing.
Yeah, but so does Mr. Mime, I think. I don't know, somebody. It's been a while. I would be wearing sunglasses like Squirtle when I showed up at the rest stop.
Like that badass Squirtle?
Yeah, yeah. Like those tough Squirtles?
I know the one.
So there would be that. Let's get into another. We got another News of the Weird story. You choose this one, Mr. Frisbee. We're running out of time. Do you want to do a story about the Warp Tour? Or do you want to do a story that has a classic M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end about a 13-year-old boy who goes to jail?
Oh, Well, yeah, I can't resist a twist. So give me the twist, even though I think I'm going to regret it.
All right, well, a 13-year-old boy, he committed a crime. Let's see what country this is in. It's in a faraway place. Hungary. 13-year-old boy committed a crime. He stole a cell phone, and they're going to try him as an adult because the police feel that he has too big of a penis, so he must be tried as an adult.
Now, is that the twist?
That is the twist.
That's quite a twist. I don't think there's any legal grounds for that to be true. Aren't we still determining like whether a person's a man or not by like a certain age limit?
It should be age limit.
Okay.
But apparently in Hungary it's penis size, which is why women never go to jail, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
They have very small penises, women. I don't know if you've known that.
I would like to think I know that. yeah, this is
probably common knowledge, I guess.
Yeah, this is unsettling though, and I'm sure this kid is both very proud of himself and very upset as at his lot at this point.
That's true. I'm truly sorry for his lots.
I pray for the mother and father.
I feel that if this kid has such a big penis, that they really should throw the book at him, put him in jail for the rest of his life. Sounds like a real criminal to me. Get him out of here.
He sounds like an incredible threat to society. I don't want that big penis walking around the streets.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not in my neighborhood. Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Put him in jail.
But man, what an arrest record, though. Like, what were you in for? My dick's too big.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Really? Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't even understand how the cops found out about his penis. Like, if he's... I don't know, I guess maybe they make you take showers or something, and one of the guards is just like, holy smokes! we gotta tag on some new charges. Like, I mean, were they like, were the cops...
Did you find, like, heroin on him? No, just junk. And how does this relate to, like, other folks? Like, can girls get arrested for having like their vaginas be too big?
Maybe.
I don't know. That seems, this is so ridiculous.
It's wild. I mean, I assume like he just stole a cell phone, which doesn't seem like too huge a deal because it happens like every day all the time. So like I assume the cops were like, you stole a cell phone. You'll pay a $50 fine. You might be in jail for about 2 hours. We'll get you right out of here. Not that big of a deal. Not that big of a crime. And then, like, the guy was like, all right, can I just go over to the restroom real quick? And they're like, all right, yeah, you can do that. And they're like, oh no. Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, they had a video camera set up in the restroom, like the other cop did from Missouri.
To watch him poop.
Yeah, that's when they saw it. Like, listen, we watch everybody poop here. And you undoubtedly have the largest dick we've ever seen.
We can't let you leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah. Also, it says here at the bottom of the story that they record everybody pooping because if you have really big poops, you also have to stay in jail longer.
Yeah.
If your poops are really big.
I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
like a federal offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A threat to the nation if you poop too big.
That's true.
Big dicks are just kind of like a local crime.
Yeah, it's federal when you're pooping too big.
Mm-hmm.
It's a war crime. but real quick, for a twofer here on News of the Weird, the Warped Tour started, Mr. Frisbee, the punk rock Vans Warped Tour.
Yep.
And there are signs everywhere that say no moshing, no crowd surfing. You mosh, you crowd surf, then you will get hurt, and then you will sue us, and then there'll be no more Warped Tour. So moshing and crowd surfing is illegal at the number one punk rock concert tour that there is. That's sad and depressing, I feel.
Yeah, kind of defeats the purpose. Vans Warped Tour should probably rename itself to like Vans Legally Safe and Comfortable Tour.
Yeah, although it's being headlined by Less Than Jake and Saves the Day. So if you're moshing to Less Than Jake and Saves the Day, why would you do that? Like, I like those bands and everything, but...
Well, that tour's been around for a while, and, you know, it is supported by Vans. It's like a skater shoe. So it's probably going to attract a different crowd. And this probably will allow for more fringe music to find greater appreciation. Like, I, I had a friend who went to that Maryland Metal Fest a couple weeks ago, and that one, you know, moshing and ground zeros and crowd surfing abounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people were cool about it. So as long as you're with a fan base who has some sort of responsibility for the people around them, if they're going to, you know, try to be like as irresponsible as possible, then that's fine. Like, you know, try not to be shitty to people who are crowd surfing and somebody gets knocked down in a pit, making sure they don't get stomped on and all that shit. But yeah, if Vans can't handle that, then, you know, they'll probably fall apart in a while.
I would think so. I don't know. Seems like the number one place for like kids from the suburbs to go crowd surfing.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Is that they have to like seek out new outlets now.
Yeah.
They'll have to look for a new market for it. And there are some, even if it's like going to Maryland once a year.
Yeah. Or going to Memphis and seeing some metal bands.
Yeah, exactly.
I imagine that you were in the Circle Pit, right, Mr. Frisbee, when you went to Memphis?
There was no Circle Pit.
No.
There was people were there to enjoy the music. And there was one girl who was dancing. She looked like Stevie Nicks, kind of. She had like a shawl on and a light kind of swaying dress. And that's how she tried to dance to the music, was like, you know, arms outstretched and kind of in a flowy motion. And she tripped on her dress and fell down. So no one pushed her and no one was moshing around her. She just fell on her own dress. And one of her friends helped her up.
That's
and
weird.
She walked away and sat down.
Huh. So you went to a metal show and like people were just like standing around politely?
No, they were headbanging.
Oh, well, all right, that makes sense. The way you made it sound, you know, I don't know, it seems like there should be a circle pit. I don't think I've ever even been to like a punk rock show or a metal show that like didn't have a circle pit.
Well, I mean, there was, for a few songs specifically, there were like, you know, a couple dudes running around and kind of pushing into people, that sort of thing. But it wasn't consistent.
Here's my impression of that show. When one of the bands is like done singing a song, here's my impression.
That's not at all what it was. I guarantee it was a much more loud and vocal reception to it. They were really into it, but they were also really into not just being dicks to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? I'm totally sorry. I'm forgetting, probably because of the shots of Jameson. There was a point where I was staying next to the equipment that was for the next band, and a couple of kids were running around, pushing into people, and I was about one person away from that. And they knocked into a group in front of the equipment, and some of the people fell down into it, and like these cymbals were set up, and those were getting knocked down, and I had my Pabst can in my hand, and I quickly switched it to my free left hand and grabbed the falling cymbals with my right hand. And nice. That was probably the only cool thing I did there.
You're like a Spider-Man.
I was so happy. I was like the best scenes from Spider-Man 1. Man. You know, all those scenes weren't CGI, like when he's catching all that stuff that falls off the cafeteria tray, as they get knocked up into the air when Mary Jane falls down.
Mm-hmm.
They did like 30 takes of that. They'd practiced it before, like, okay, first going to catch the drink, then the book, then the apple, then the sandwich. That's all Tobey Maguire doing that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Maybe he is the true Spider-Man.
Maybe. I don't know. That Spider-Man 3 kind of sucked.
That's
but,
true.
But, yeah, I did feel like Spider-Man when I was able to catch that falling symbol and whatnot.
Nice. When you caught that symbol, did everybody take notice and give you the applause that you needed?
It wasn't that sustained. I think it might have just been like two people. But, yeah, it was a nice reception.
Oh, that's good. Speaking of a nice reception, I guess, is that the end? Is that all? Well, we had some emails. Well, I guess we'll get to those some other time.
Okay.
It's a long, well, all right, let's get one real quick. We gotta get through them. Let's do one. Pick one, Mr. Frisbee.
All right. This one's from my brother, James. Says, this is the medium security prison near Lake Placid that used to be a tuberculosis sanatorium, as Jason mentioned. I thought it was like an insane asylum, like Victorian insane something. It was a tuberculosis sanatorium. Still really creepy looking. And he says it was used as a sanatorium from 1904 until the mid-60s. In no way was Jason ever a patient at the sanatorium. He is very much alive like me, and not a ghost condemned to walk the earth, begging forgiveness and seeking an end to this misery, as I assume a ghost might. I have no way of knowing, since we are definitely not ghosts. Great show, guys. Every episode that ends without a stinger makes me die a little. JK, I'm alive and not a ghost coughing up blood into a handkerchief for eternity. He's absolutely right. We're not ghosts. I know how much ghosts scare you, and although we don't do this podcast together, I want to remind you that I am not a ghost, even though I do say ooh, ooh a lot when we're about to record. Those aren't ghost sounds. That's just me moaning because I'm alive, not dead. And yeah, and also, yeah, this place was still very scary, and I'm not a ghost.
I believe you that you're not a ghost. Hoing. That was my winking sound.
It's very loud. It's almost like the light applause sound.
Yeah, but that would be a good movie, I think. Nobody steal this idea for a movie, but I'm going to make a movie. I'm going to get Oliver Stone's help about a podcaster who's a podcast host. He can't see. You know, it's like a call-in thing, you know, sort of like how we do. But then, at the end of the night, at midnight, when the show is over, he finds out that the podcast podcast co-host was a ghost and died 10 years ago on this very night. I think that could be a good one. And it would be called, the name of the movie, is Podcast Ghost. You know, because it's sort of like...
And like the catch line on the poster could be, he's the ghost with the most.
The ghost.
He's the ghost host with the most.
He's the ghost host with the most co-hosts.
Yeah, that one.
And we'll just keep adding on words that rhyme with most.
He's the best podcast co-host ghost with the most from coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
Coast, not to boast.
Co-starring Donnie Most, the guy from Happy Days.
Yep.
To him, I propose a toast. All right.
Yeah.
So that's the movie we're working on. Oliver Stone will help. He did Talk Radio, which is a very similar movie to this movie that we just lined up. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. You excited? We're going to get the Kickstarter going?
I'm pretty excited, although I would like any of the rights and, you know, money that comes with this movie to go to my very much alive family, much like me, just to make sure that they're taken care of. Because this sounds like the story that I'm going through. And I feel like I inspired it. I'm not dead. I'm not a ghost. So I just want to make that clear.
We'll send the money to your estate.
Yeah. The Jason Frisbee estate for tuberculosis deaths.
Mm-hmm.
That's an estate I set up. Don't believe the legalese behind it. I'm not dead.
You're not dead. Although I did mention that we should use Kickstarter, but I've changed my mind. I think instead we should go with Indie Ghost Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Indie Ghost Ghost would be good.
Because of that website Indiegogo, but I changed it to Indie Ghost Ghost because we're talking about ghosts.
It's very cute.
Did you get that joke?
I did.
All right. Thank you.
I'd press the applause sound if I get the audience to applaud politely if I could. There you go.
Indie Ghost Ghost. Thank you, everybody. Indie Ghost Ghost. All right. Well, there were a few more emails, but we've gone way over our time for this week, Mr. Frisbee. I've got some Chinese food to eat.
It's very important.
I think so. So we'll get to those next week, the other ones. But send in more emails because we love them. poolpartyradio@gmail.com. We'll read every single one of them. Maybe not immediately because we're buttholes. I'm a butthole. This is my fault. Frisbee had nothing to do with it.
I don't see how you're butthole for this. But yeah, let's go with that. Parker's at fault. Parker's to blame. But send us those emails anyway.
Yeah, we'll read them. We like them. Leave us some iTunes reviews. Go to iTunes. You can subscribe to our show, and then every episode will just come to your iTunes or your device, your phone. I got a new phone.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to podcasts on there. I listened to the new Pod Awful show starring Jesse P.S. He is, of course, Mr. Daddy. That's what I call him, Mr. Frisbee. You know, just me. I'm the only person who calls him that. And it's been good listening to things on my phone. You, too, can listen to things on your phone. You can listen to our show. You can leave us ratings and reviews after you've subscribed to us on iTunes. That's always hot fire. You can, in fact, leave a good fuck style. Leave, you know, it has been said on the show multiple times that the only time my wife will have sex with me is if people leave us reviews on iTunes, telling her how to do it, giving her a proper fuck style, detailing it all out, you know?
She had a great one recently about power rear entry and turtleneck biting.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least biting the neck like a turtle was.
Mm-hmm.
That was very well received.
Yeah, it gained me entry into the turtle club.
Great.
Which is what I call my wife's vagina, the turtle club.
It's disgusting.
So if you guys want me to have sex, please write in those reviews detailing a nice fuck style that I might enjoy.
You can also listen to us on Stitcher, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I use Stitcher sometimes. It's a very handy tool. Actually, the Badland Girls just got an email from a listener who uses Stitcher. So if you use Stitcher, tell us what you think of it and how you like it.
Yeah, I just learned that you can leave people reviews on Stitcher too, which...
Oh, crap. We've not checked that at all. So leave us reviews on Stitcher as well.
Yeah, I don't know how long that's been going on for, but you can do that. You can leave us reviews. I'm sure it helps other people find us. I'm sure it moves us up in some sort of ratings. And, you know, the more people that listen, the more our self-esteem is good. You know? So mm-hmm. If you're taking time to listen, you might want to help us out with the self-esteem issues, I think. You know, I think that would be nice. Poolpartyradio.com has all our old episodes. Sometimes when I'm not lazy, it has episode arts. And all the time when Frisbee's not lazy, it has all that information, art. It has the arts, it has the show notes, things that I don't put in because I'm a dickhead, but Frisbee puts those in, so those are available. Also,
you can
links.
Download all our episodes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Links to our Podcat Bros.
Oh, yeah.
It's hot stuff.
Which Podcat Bros do you think that they can find links to?
They got the kissing contest, the Pod Awful, the Awful Flex, the Badland Girls, Acid Pop Cult, Rotten Rantings. And that's it. There's nothing else that exists.
Nope, not a single other one.
Yep, just us, Pool Party Radio.
Mm-hmm. Although I think I'm going to add a new one. We have some Podcat Bros. Listener of at least Junk Food Dinner. I'm not sure about pool. I think maybe Pool Party. Davey K has a podcast. It's called That One Movie Podcast. Just started a few weeks ago. I listened to it. It's very good. He's a sweet bro, and you guys should look for that. It's called That One Movie Podcast. They talk about Blade Runner, an overrated film, I feel.
Oh, I still like that film quite a great deal. I like Ridley Scott for other reasons, I think, than you like dislike Ridley Scott. I forgot to mention one other podcast, though.
Who's that?
Well, two others. Junk Food Dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And the Grandma's Virginity podcast, which hasn't put a new episode for a while.
Yeah, that's sad. I've been re-listening to all those. They're so fucking good.
Yeah, so good.
Never heard a podcast so good in my life.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons to like that podcast. But yeah, that's it. That's all of them.
Mm-hmm. No other ones. So I guess that's everything, right? Pod Awful Channel, the Junk Food Dinner, the like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Be our friends on Facebook if you want. You know, Parker and Frisbee, we're on there.
Mm-hmm. I do have a shout out of appreciation to Adam Circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, this is his punk rock name, Adam Circ, at Adam Circ on the Twitters, but I think he's private. He's a very secretive man.
All right, then I'll keep it secretive. he did something very nice for Pool Party, and he's a member of our Pool Party Radio Hall of Fame Sweet Boys Club. I think he might be the sweetest boy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a member of our secret club. And he knows that the password for entry is just Whisper Fidelio, and then he can bear witness to all our private fuck styles.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I just said the secret password on the air, so we have to think of a different one.
Oh, no.
Preferably something else from a Kubrick film.
Yeah. Maybe The Shining had a password in there. I'll have to rewatch it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Whatever that guy in the dog suit says after he gives that other dude a blowjob.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra. That's what he says into the peen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, that guy's super cool. I want to thank him also publicly for his offer, his nice offer that he made us. He made us a nice offer, Mr. Frisbee.
It's hard to refuse. It's like a godfather scene.
Mm-hmm. And that's everything. You, Mr. Frisbee, will be gone the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Sad to hear.
Not doing ghost stuff, though. Just normal human stuff. Like, I'm totally alive.
Mm-hmm. Not going to any rest stops or anything.
No.
No.
I don't have to check up on a series of Craigslist ad that I've bookmarked and sent requests to. But I would say this. I'm pretty sure they're all women.
So that's what Mr. Frisbee will be doing for the next 2 weeks. I will be here.
Special guest, though.
Yeah. Katie Rotz, I think, will be here next week. She's a nice young lady. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like the Toxic Avenger.
Oh, well, you'll have somebody else on the show then?
Yeah. Right?
Okay.
You know, somebody who likes that show on. Or that movie, rather. She'll be here. Maybe some other people the other week. Or one guy, depending on if he doesn't ditch out on me again.
Are we just going to let that finish out the show?
So this is Parker Ford, Jason Frisbee saying thanks for having fun.
And Boomer's dead.
I'll just put in some silence here. Let's just be quiet. That way we know that this is the edit point.
This is where we're editing.
We're editing here. This is the edit point. You'll be able to see it clearly on Audacity because it's the edit point.
Okay.
These should be the stinger.
This should be the stinger for edits.
Okay.